If you work with your hands, they don't care how you feel. You're sore, you're tired, and if the tool quits on you, you don't get to. That's the American way. And racing in Indianapolis, that's an American original. And so is Quality Supply and Tool. They're selling what works. They supply men and women who build this nation every day, not just on race day. So yeah, engines go wide open once a year, but if you're like us, you're wide open all the time. Next time you need supplies for a job, go to Quality Supply and Tool. Along with racing in Indianapolis, American originals.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it. He has won his fourth Indianapolis 500.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store. On 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
We are indeed thinking outside the box store, but we are inside the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center. It happens. Hire Hensley for this another edition of Beyond the Bricks. Jake Query here along with Mike Thompson. Landon Coons is the man that puts it all together for us as we take a look back at the names, the personalities, the stories, and the audio that make up the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the history of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Mike, once again, a pleasure to talk about something that happened 60 years ago. That is hard to believe. The 50th running of the Indianapolis 500. We kind of captured the race last night, but tonight we now shifted forward to enjoying dinner, jokes, recreation, and everything that went into the victory banquet.
Yes, we have rubber chicken and we have a hard roll, as James Brown would say tonight. So we're excited about all of that.
Actually, truth be told, it probably more was like hard chicken and a rubber roll. I mean, if you really want to know the truth, right? But either way, the dinner was there and the stage was set. Last night, we told you about everything that took place in terms of the happenings at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that would allow Graham Hill to win a very busy and active 1966 Indianapolis 500. And as everyone gathered the following evening, nearly everyone, we'll get to that in a moment, Sid Collins, of course, served as the master of ceremonies for the victory banquet in courtesy of Richie Murray, our friend from USAC. We have the audio of that evening, and it begins with Sid presenting a flippant tone.
You know, back in 1776, we got this country from the British, and after what we saw yesterday, I think that Hill, Clark, and Stewart have a plan to drive it back there. I would like to explain before we begin the awards to Jimmy Clark, why he had such a difficult time getting into victory lane. Jim, it seems that Joe Quinn issued 33 parking stickers down there, overflow from the garage area. And the reason there was no protest this morning, last night, Colin Chapman and Andy Granatelli talked about it all evening, but neither could understand the other's English. We know there is disappointment at this table tonight, and in the audience, too. A year's work wiped out in a moment for many. But as Herb Porter so aptly put it to me after the race, he said, this won't stop us from racing. And like the New York Mets, they'll be back next year and win. And that's the spirit of this sport, don't you agree? Probably the only way we could have gotten straightened out yesterday would be to have had Cesar Romero bring Batman with him.
By the way, it would be apparently not just chicken and a roll, but roast as well. And it would be three more years before the New York Mets would actually win the World Series. But somewhat prophetic there from Sid Collins. Now, as for the race itself, and we had talked about it, one of the unique characteristics of the 1966 Indianapolis 500, not just one of the bigger names that would not be at the banquet, not just a large percentage of the field eliminated early on, as Sid had referenced there, but the fact that a rookie won the race, but it was Jackie Stewart, a fellow rookie of Graham Hill, who would win the Rookie of the Year award.
Each year, the outstanding rookie is voted upon at a meeting just prior to this dinner. Tonight, with with the results of the tabulation, I'd like to call on Bob Collins, the Star Sports Editor, to come forward, and Mr. Gene Turner, President of Stark & Wetzel, to award the Rookie of the Year. While they're coming up, I'll name you the nominees. Gary Congdon of Garden Grove, California. Larry Dixon of Marietta, Ohio. Graham Hill from London, England. Mel Kenyon, Davenport, Iowa. Jackie Stewart of Dunbarton, Scotland. Carl Williams from Kansas City, Missouri. And Cale Yarborough of Charlotte, North Carolina. Bob, if you will, Bob Collins.
Thank you, Father. I'd just like to say, don't give up, America. At least now we have them fighting among themselves. I've been around a long time, but I never thought I'd live to see the day that Douglas Fairbanks pulled into Victory Lane. The winner of the 1966 Stark & Wetzel Rookie of the Year Award and a year's supply of free groceries is a young man who, for a while, thought he was going to make enough money to buy back his native land. Nevertheless, he drove a great race, and he's a great race driver in the tradition of this award. A delightful little fellow from Dunbarton, Scotland, Jackie Stewart. Presentation
with
Mr. Gene Turner, the President of the Stark & Wetzel Company.
You want me to speak? Well, I thank you all very, very much indeed, and of course the supporters of the Rookie of the Year Award. This is a very big thrill for me because it's the first time I've been a rookie for a bit of a time. Just the same, I think it's very nice indeed. I've enjoyed my stay tremendously over here. I've had great hospitality and great tuition. And I think that it's done a lot of good. And I'm sure this Rookie of the Year thing is a very good thing indeed. I would like to thank everyone concerned with running the race over here. It's been a tremendous promotion. I don't believe I've ever seen anything quite like it before, certainly not in motor racing. As far as the British contingent are concerned, we're very happy. I hear amongst the boys we're going to club together for a trophy for the first American driver next year. I just hope Graham will give a proper share in this award. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie, and you join a long list of illustrious drivers who've received the Rookie of the Year trophy from Stark & Wetzel.
Mike, we talked about it yesterday at length, and I've made mention to it already, and that is the fact that one of the things, aside from, you know, the greatness of the 1966 500, and when I say that, Graham Hill is obviously a legendary driver, right, in terms of winning the Indy 500. Jackie Stewart, a huge name and personality within the sport and a megastar at the time. But one of the things also about the 1966 500 that will always be remembered and talked about is the fact that, yes, indeed, the race essentially started without a third of the field within it.
Yeah, that's right. There was the crash right at the start of the race, which eliminated literally one third of the cars, 11 of the 33 cars. But we had seen a couple years prior to that the tragedy that took the lives of Eddie Sachs and Dave McDonald, sadly. But in this huge crash in 1966, with all these wheels flying about and all the parts flying, there was only one injury in 1966, and that was A.J. Foyt. And that actually happened because he decided to climb the fence to get away from the, you know, flying debris and all those type of things that was going on. And when he was climbing the fence, he cut his thumb on the way back over the fence. So A.J. Foyt actually wasn't at the victory banquet the next night. And he still got paid, of course, as did Gary Congdon. And we'll talk a little bit about Gary Congdon on the way back.
In 26th place, A.J. Foyt Jr. of Houston, Texas. The Sheraton Thompson Special, number 2. Entered by Anstead Thompson, chief mechanic Johnny Paulson. A.J. started 18th and finished 26th. He holds the fence climbing championship. When he got over the fence, they were sold out, so he had no seat for him, so he had to come back again. I don't think he made it down here tonight, did he? Is AJ here? His prize money from the Speedway, $10,637. Accessory prizes, $250. Total, $10,887 for AJ Foyt. Move along to 25th place, Gary Congdon of Garden Grove, California. Rookie this year, Valvoline Special, number 53. Entered by Bonnet Enterprises, mechanic Bill Finley. Gary started 16th and finished 25th. And your prize money, Gary, $9,186 in the Speedway. Accessory money, $200. Total of $9,386. Gary Congdon.
Not very much to say. It hasn't been said already, except we'll try next year. Thank you.
Mike, Gary Congdon is one of those. That 1966 race was his only race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He had an unusual record there and was kind of an unusual person in other regards as well.
That's right. He's got an interesting record at the Speedway. He's one of the drivers who is listed as a starting driver for the 500, but he never participated in the race. What I mean by that is he has zero laps. So Art Bish is one of those guys. Dale Whittington. There's a couple other of those guys, Alfonso Giafone. So they are listed as starting drivers in the Indianapolis 500, but he did not turn an actual lap. While there are several drivers who drove relief, and some of them drove, you know, 50, 60 laps, those people like Cyrus Patchkey, who drove the winning car in 1911, they are not considered Indianapolis 500 drivers. But Gary Congdon is considered an Indianapolis 500 driver, but he never drove in the race other than a few hundred feet to the front stretch in 1966. So it's kind of an interesting way that that's determined. But Congdon was also interesting because when he would sign autographs, he would always kind of write kind of unusual things. I have an autograph that he signed for somebody, and literally the salutation was, "Good luck, I guess." So I'm not sure what that meant exactly. Was he really wishing good luck to the person or not? And then on another photo I have that he signed, he wrote, "Who's the cheat?" And then wrote ? So he had a kind of an unusual style when he was signing autographs.
He must have known that the first guy was getting ready to go gambling with the other guy that was a cheater. That'd be, you know, my only thought. Good luck, I guess. You're going up against a cheater. But either way, Congdon, if you are wondering why the 1966 Indianapolis 500, where again, he started 16th and was scored as 25th because of the order in which everyone was eliminated from that accident. But unfortunately, he was fatally injured in 1967, September of 1967, in a racing accident in Terre Haute. And thus, Gary Congdon, just the one time in the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Now, in 24th place in the race in 1966 was Canada's Billy Foster. And in the days leading up to the 500, it was erroneously reported that Foster was going to be Canada's first driver in the 500. He was not. And sadly, the man who was a close friend of Mario Andretti took a lot of blame, undeservedly, for that first lap crash.
In 24th place, Billy Foster of Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. Jim Robbins. Jim Robbins Special, number 27. Rolf Olsitz, the chief mechanic. Billy started 12th, finished 24th. And your prize money, Bill, $9,354 in the Speedway. Accessory money, $200. Total of $9,554 to Billy Foster.
I think it cost Jim Robbins a little more than this, but if everything goes well, we'll be together again next year. Thank you.
Mike, one of the things I wanted you to elaborate on is exactly that, in terms of not just the, you know, the sad circumstance of Billy Foster being blamed for that crash, but also the fact that at that time there was this thought that he was the first Canadian, but in fact he wasn't even necessarily the second Canadian to run in the 500.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird situation. There was a in the climber yearbook, if you look in 1966, there's a picture of Billy Foster getting a giant telegram. And when I mean giant, I mean this thing is massive. It's several feet long, giant Western Union telegram. And it says, you know, congratulations, Billy Foster, on being the first Canadian to ever race in the 500. Well, I mean, he wasn't the first Canadian to race in the 500. There was a guy named Pete Henderson. You know, I mean, he was born in 1895, you know, and he raced in the 500 and I think it was 1916. So, I mean, he was, you know, 50 years earlier, he was actually, I think, the first Canadian who drove in the 500. And there were other people who were born in Canada before you know, Billy Foster. But Billy Foster was a very, very close friend of Mario Andretti's. And sadly, he did get a lot of the blame. He got pinched in a, you know, squeezed up against the wall, and the nose cone of his car actually came off in that accident. And several cars, you know, taking action in that 66 wreck, you know, there was a lot of finger pointing at Billy Foster, but there really wasn't anything Billy Foster could have done in that accident. So Billy Foster was a, as I understand it, a really, really good guy. And everybody really liked Billy Foster, but unfortunately, he took a lot of the blame for that wreck.
And he was fatally injured, sadly, in January of the next year at Riverside, practicing for a NASCAR event in that race. All right, let's go ahead, and if you could, just any plates that you were finished with, set them aside. Our staff will be around shortly to go ahead and clean up your table. Dessert will be coming at some point as we continue here for the victory banquet of the 1966 Indianapolis 500 on this episode of Beyond the Bricks.
If you work with your hands, they don't care how you feel. You're sore, you're tired, and if the tool quits on you, you don't get to. That's the American way. And racing in Indianapolis, that's an American original. And so is Quality Supply and Tool. They're selling what works. They supply men and women who build this nation every day, not just on race day. So yeah, engines go wide open once a year. But if you're like us, you're wide open all the time. Next time you need supplies for a job, go to Quality Supply and Tool. Along with racing in Indianapolis, American originals.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or a sausage biscuit to hash browns, and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Inside the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center, Jake Query, Mike Thompson. It happens, hire Hensley, as we take a look back at what did happen in 1966. The victory banquet for the 50th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. We talked about the fact that Jackie Stewart was the rookie of the year despite Graham Hill winning the race. We talked about the fact that there was a huge crash that took out 11 cars in that race. And Mike, one of the oddities, I guess, that comes with that, as always, is that means that there are those drivers that may normally chalk their day up to a massive disappointment and in some circumstances come home at the bottom of the field after starting at the front of the field if they have some sort of an issue in the first 10% or 20% of the race. But in the case of the pole sitter from 1966, Mario Andretti, part of that is true. Had a disappointing start to the race, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he would finish in, say, the bottom three of the standings.
Yeah, that's right. Because of that massive accident, there were so many cars out of the race, you could drop out fairly early and still have a, you know, what would be considered a fairly decent finish.
And that finish of 18th for Mario Andretti because of that first lap crash. Here's Mario Andretti from the victory banquet.
Longer list here now. 18th place, Mario Andretti. Dean Van Lines Hawk, Al Aldine Racing Enterprises, mechanic Clint Bronner, started on the pole, finished 18th, and led laps 1 through 16. And we have a lot of things in here for you, Mario. Some were given at other banquets and totaled here for your full run as well. From the Speedway, $12,955. Lap prizes, $2,400. And accessory prizes, $9,765.90 for a total of $25,120.90 to Mario Andretti.
When it looked like we were going to make a buck, the bottom just fell out of the pot. But this really ruins my speech, because I was going to say now that we're poor again, we'll come back next year with a little more incentive. But 25 grand is nothing to sneeze at. So thank you very
Now, one of the more notable things of many that took place in that victory banquet in 1966 involved Roger Ward, who, of course, is a legend at the Speedway and already had cemented that by 1966. He had started 15 Indianapolis 500s. Of course, he was the winner in 1959, the winner in 1962. He was the runner-up in 1964. One of the truly great driving records. And a handling issue would drop him out of the 1966 race in the 15th position, which would be two spots lower than where he would start. But it was a poignant, emotional moment in the victory banquet when Roger Ward let the racing world know that he had made the decision to go ahead, and his retirement plans were evident in this emotional speech.
Now being honored is 15th place Roger Ward. Let's join the speaker's table.
Speedway prize, $11,707. And the accessory prize money, $150, Roger, for a total of $11,857. Roger Ward.
Thank you very much, Sid, and certainly there are many, many people that I should thank. People who've been patient with me throughout all of my racing career. I think perhaps I made the greatest decision I'll ever have, or the most serious decision I ever had the occasion to make in my life before today. I made a promise to myself quite some years ago that if it ever stopped being fun, I'd quit. Well, yesterday, it just wasn't fun. So, see you all.
Comment from here. We have all known Roger's brilliant record, his wonderful spirit as a representative for racing. I've never known a better champion or a better winner or a better representative for the sport.
Roger Ward, of course, one of the all-time greats in the history of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. One of the greats in the history of the Speedway, because he is a great within the racing world as well, is, of course, Jackie Stewart, who we heard from earlier when he accepted his award for Rookie of the Year. But, Mike, one of the benefits of course, the banquet itself is then the drivers come up for their actual winnings check for their placement, which meant a second opportunity for Jackie Stewart, Mike, to show off that personality, right?
That's right, Jake, but unfortunately he doesn't get a wheel horse tractor as one of his prizes here, which is a classic Beyond the Bricks commercial that we're going to be bringing back here very soon. But he does get a lot of prize money, so maybe he could have gone and bought a wheel horse tractor.
Or he could wait another 18 years or so before he can get his Hardy's Speed Watch, which will probably make a return as well. Here's Jackie Stewart accepting his prize money.
In sixth place, our new Rookie of the Year, Jackie Stewart from Dumbarton Scotland.
The bowl is seal fast special number 43, entered by John Meekham Jr., chief mechanic George Vignotti. Jackie started 11th and finished 6th, led laps 151 through 190, and was leading the race when he lost oil pressure and stopped in the northwest turn. Jack, I'm sorry we haven't any haggis here today. Scottish dish from the Gordon Pipers. Indianapolis Speedway prize, $16,992. Lap prize is $6,000. Accessory prize is $2,275. Jackie, a total of $25,267.
Thank you very much, everyone. I have to thank one or two people. I've got to thank, first of all, Jim Hurtubise for explaining the rules to me. This is terribly important to know exactly what you've got to do. I think next time I'm definitely going to follow Jim. The only thing that worries me is I just wondered why he didn't pass the pace car as well. I think Scotland will find this very useful. Their economy is being helped greatly these days by American motor racing. To receive this back home, but it's a great pity we had to drop out. The oil pressure in the car, in fact, only fell on left-hand corners, which is unusual for our cars. We normally have trouble with right-hand corners as well, but on this occasion we didn't. I thank everyone involved. It's been a very pleasant stay. Thank you very much.
Jackie Stewart wasn't the only rookie in 1966 who would become a household name around the Speedway. There was another who happens to still, to this day, be the oldest living 500 driver. We will hear from him, as well as the winner, when we return to the 1966 Victory Banquet.
If you work with your hands, they don't care how you feel. You're sore, you're tired, and if the tool quits on you, you don't get to. That's the American way. And racing in Indianapolis, that's an American original. And so is Quality Supply and Tool. They're selling what works. They supply men and women who build this nation every day, not just on race day. So yeah, engines go wide open once a year. But if you're like us, you're wide open all the time. Next time you need supplies for a job, go to Quality Supply and Tool. Along with racing in Indianapolis, American originals.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
And we are inside the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center. Jake Query along with Mike Thompson. It happens. Hire Hensley as we take a look back at the 1966 Victory Banquet of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Mike, I mentioned it going into the break. Jackie Stewart wasn't the only rookie in that race in 1966 who would become a fan favorite throughout his time in Indianapolis. The other one is a driver that all the way through, even back when I was a kid, would come around to local schools and talk about the 500 and made plenty of fans throughout plenty of racetracks around the Midwest and of the era talking about Mike Mel Kenyon.
Yeah, that's right. And I think a lot of people forget that Mel Kenyon was a rookie in that race just because of the fact that Graham Hill won the race as a rookie. Jackie Stewart, you know, was rookie of the year. I mean, they overshadowed him a little bit, but Mel Kenyon was a rookie in 1966. And he's one of the nicest, most genuine people you'd ever want to meet in your life. Just a truly special, special individual.
And of course, Mel Kenyon, as I mentioned, the oldest living driver of the Indianapolis 500-mile race in terms of the veteran list, was nearly killed in a devastating crash at Langhorne in 1965. But Miraculous Mel, as he would become known, was clearly touched just to be at the banquet, let alone get a check as a top five finisher.
In fifth place, Mel Kenyon of Davenport, Iowa.
the Gerhardt Alpine, number 94, headed by Fred Gerhardt. Chief mechanic, his brother, Don Kenyon. Mel started 17th and finished 5th, and was the first Alpi-powered car to finish. And he went out 198 laps. The race ended at that time. Didn't quite make the 200 laps. Speedway prize, $18,112. Accessory prizes, $3,875. A total of $21,987 to Mel Kenyon.
It's going to be a pleasure counting this much money instead of spending the money for a change. I've got to thank God for allowing me to get off that hospital bed and get back to racing. It's the only thing that I really enjoy doing, and I can't think of anything I can do better, so we're back at it. I've got to thank my car owner and, of course, my brother and all the people in the United States that wrote cards and encouragement, prayers, and so forth that made this possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mel, and we're very happy to have you back with us, too.
One of the true gentlemen of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway history, Mel Kenyon, there with Sid Collins. Now, as for Jim Clark, you heard it yesterday when we played it for you here on Beyond the Bricks, that there was a lot of controversy at the end of the race as to whether or not Jim Clark won the race or, in fact, Graham Hill would be the winner. Colin Chapman and Andy Granatelli never formally protested the finish. That was speculated, as we heard yesterday at the end of the race broadcast, that they might actually protest, but that never actually took place. And so therefore they were shown the evidence and they agreed that Graham Hill was the winner as a rookie. Jim Clark at the 1966 Victory Banquet.
The STP gas treatment special number 19. Before I read the total, we have some other gifts for you. Jim, will you stand up here, please? Jimmy also won the coin electrical school trophies for himself and his mechanic, Dave Lazenby. Bud Jones, you'll stand out here and point toward that trophy from the Coin Electrical School. And Dave also received one of these. And the Charger Auto Racing News trophy, Bill Marble, in addition to $100 in prize money. For the fastest lap while leading the race of 56 54 seconds, which was 159.179 miles per hour on lap number 18. Fastest lap of the day. And now your total prize money, Jimmy. From Firestone, $3,750. Humble Oil Company, $3,750. Autolite, $3,350. STP, $2,500. Perfect Circle, $450. Monroe Auto Equipment, $1,000. Raybestos Manhattan, $600. Fram Corporation, $500. Prestone Division, Union Carbide, $1,000. Dow Corning Corporation, $50. H.K. Porter Company, $175. Stamp Manufacturing, $150. Ideal Corporation, $100. Sun Electric, $300. And the Charger Publishing Company, $100. From the Speedway, $49,317. Lap prizes, $9,900. Accessory prizes, $17,775 for a total of $76,992 to Jimmy Clark.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone connected with my car, the pit crew, mechanics, and everyone concerned, the people who got me in and out of the pits so fast every time I came in, a bit more frequently than I anticipated. We've had a little competition in the garage all month concerning the meaning of the initials STP. It wasn't until about after I'd completed the 65th lap that I really discovered the meaning. And that was to be spinning takes practice. So just to prove it, I went out and tried it again. Another thing that puzzled me a bit during the race, and I kept coming in wanting my tires changed every time I spun, but no one seemed worried. And I don't know whether to thank Firestone for giving me tires that would not only do 500 miles, but also take the punishing of spinning a couple of times, or whether it was the fact that I noticed today that someone said that two out of every three cars used SDP, and there was so much oil on the track, I reckon there probably wasn't much tarmac left. Also, I'd like to congratulate Graham on winning this race, his first attempt. I was on the side of the American drivers here. I kept trying to tell them not to come. But somehow or other, word got back that I'd done pretty well here last year, and he came anyway. So all I'd like to say now is thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.
Jim Clark would return to the Indianapolis 500-mile race a year later. He would have mechanical issues that would drop him out of the race, finishing him in 31st in what would be his final start in the Indianapolis 500, because just a month before everything got underway for him in 1968, he was unfortunately fatally injured in a racing accident in Germany. But as for the winner of the race itself, Mike, you have made note of the fact and told me this before, and every time I ask you to repeat it, because I say, wait a minute, what? Because I don't know necessarily even that these are in all of the bathrooms at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which hold their own place of legendary status. But some of the doors on stalls are courtesy of Graham Hill, correct?
That is 100% correct. Especially the ones in the garage area are courtesy of Graham Hill, because he was using the facilities and found that there were no doors on the actual stalls. And he went to Tony Holman directly and said, quote, it is barbaric that a man goes into a men's convenience and there is no doors on the stalls and people can see, you know, everyone as walking by sees who's sitting in the stalls. And so the next day, there were doors on the stalls. Tony Holman had that taken care of in the garage area. So if you're ever in the garage area and you're using a quote, men's convenience, you can thank Graham Hill for the doors on the stalls.
I don't know whether or not Graham Hill ever actually visited the troughs of the Northeast Vista, but nonetheless, he did visit with Sid Collins after winning the 1966 Indianapolis 500-mile race.
Now we have the winner of the Golden Anniversary 500-mile race, Graham Hill from London, England. $172. Lap prizes, $1,500. Accessory prizes, $53,025. For a total of $156,297. Last December, Tom Binford and myself had the privilege and were invited to attend the British Racing Drivers Club in London in December. And we had a most delightful evening, and our experiences there were never to be forgotten. And I hope tonight that these boys from England, Jimmy and Jackie, and Graham, I enjoy tonight as much as Tom and I did in London with you, and
Again, we want to congratulate all of you on such a tremendous performance. And I'd like to present the award to you, Graham, and you did an outstanding and marvelous job. And my congratulations to you.
I didn't know I was going to be racing here. And when John Cobb, of the team manager of the Meacham Racing Team, phoned me and invited me, I couldn't give him a straight answer then. Rather depended on whether my BRM was going to be ready for Silverstone. As it turned out, it wasn't. And I was able to come here and qualify, participate in this race, and be very lucky to win it. When he was on the phone to me, he mentioned that I was going to be driving an American Red Bull Special. This was very confusing to me. I'd like to offer my commiserations to all the drivers who started in the race and qualified and started. That's an achievement in itself, and weren't able to get far enough to figure in the prize and the results. I think it's a terrible shame, and I feel very sorry for them and all the mechanics and everybody that took part in the month of May that made up the preparations for this race. Also, I'd like to commiserate with Jimmy. He had some rotten luck. Lloyd Ruby for leading the race. Jackie Stewart for leading the race and falling out so cruelly towards the end. And also to Roger Ward for retiring today. He's been a great help to me in my few weeks here, few days I should say, and I'd like to thank him for all the tuition he's given me. Now, some play has been made here this evening about the impact or the impression that the British drivers have made on this race. But I don't think you want to give up hope, because there is here someone this evening, an old sparring partner of mine, Dan Gurney, who is intended to reverse the tables in Europe with the All-American races. And I'm sure that Jackie and Jimmy would join me in wishing him every success in Europe in the Grand Prix season with this All-American car. It all seems a bit above my head, but I did bring my two Scottish accountants who understand all these forbids, and surely will put me right on this. And I'd like to thank you all for coming here this evening and giving us all such a wonderful evening. Thank you very much indeed.
The first of three runnings for Graham Hill at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. A year later, he would finish in 32nd. He also finished 19th after starting in the front row in 1968 and passed away in 1975 in a plane crash, did Graham Hill. One of the interesting things, Mike, about that as I listened to that audio, and again, fabulous audio to be able to go back and listen 60 years ago, but I realized that just like the United States, different countries have different areas that have different accents. I don't know that I'd heard a lot from Graham Hill. He sounds, in the racing aspect of it, his accent to me, and this is part of what I enjoyed about it, really sounded like Justin Wilson, the late, great Justin Wilson, a great guy. And you could hear a little bit of that same dialect within Graham Hill.
Oh, I agree with that. And, Graham Hill was a very funny character. There was more in that I wish I could have played, but unfortunately, we'd like to keep our license. And he was a very, very funny guy. And Graham Hill is, he had one of those kind of Monty Python, kind of dry humor. which I love. I'm a huge Monty Python fan. So, you know, it's fun to hear from Graham Hill for sure.
It was indeed fun to take a look back at 1966. Tomorrow night, we'll go 10 years forward. A look back at the 76 race on Beyond the Bricks.
If you work with your hands, they don't care how you feel. You're sore, you're tired, and if the tool quits on you, you don't get to. That's the American way. And racing in Indianapolis, that's an American original. And so is Quality Supply and Tool. They're selling what works. They supply men and women who build this nation every day, not just on race day. So yeah, engines go wide open once a year, but if you're like us, you're wide open all the time. Next time you need supplies for a job, go to Quality Supply and Tool. Along with racing in Indianapolis, American originals.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or a sausage biscuit to hash browns and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.